Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Let's all stand. Do a form in prayer this morning. Precious Heavenly Father, Lord, we come gathered in your name this morning, Lord. Lord, we appreciate the opportunity. Lord, we just appreciate, Lord, the love and the joy in our hearts and the peace that you give us. Lord, it's priceless in this day and age, Lord. We just appreciate it with all our hearts. Lord, as we gather here this day, Lord, in your name, Lord, we ask that you bless us with your presence once again. Lord, have your will in everything that's said and done. And we'll make sure to give you all the glory and all the honor. In your precious name, the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Amen. I turn a page, or only believe, page 206. Pass me not. Pass me not, O gentle Savior.
What I see, love.
That little song on page 199, right there in the same page, next page over. What a friend we have in Jesus.
What a friend we have in Jesus.
Hallelujah.
What a privilege to care.
Turn back to page 77, same book. Only one you can turn to. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Oh, so are you wearied and troubled? No light in the darkness you. And
Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we can truly say it's been good to be here so far.
Yes.
Thank you for your Holy Spirit that's with us this morning, Lord. We thank you for the health and the strength you've given us, Lord, the desire in our hearts to climb higher in you this day.
Yes.
We ask that our hearts and minds will be open to receive what you have for us this morning, Lord. We just commit the service, the remainder of it, into your hands, Lord. Once more, we ask that you'll bless this offering, Lord. We ask that it will be used for the upbuilding of that kingdom. We ask these things in your precious holy name, the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen. They got a little song, Just Another Touch, Lord, from you. Amen. Just another touch, Lord, from you. Would you take your quest?
Heavenly Father, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Lord, we ask your grace and love is so bountiful, so wonderful. Lord, how you paid the price for us.
Yes.
Lord, for salvation, healing. That's all laying out in front of us.
Yes.
Lord, and it's great as our faith is to reach out and claim. Lord, we pray, Father, that every person standing in this building's faith, Lord, may be built up to a point they can reach out and claim what is rightfully ours. Lord, heal every single one, Lord, that has a need on their
yes.
life. Father, whether it be spiritual, physical, or financial, Lord, meet the needs. Lord, that we may have minds and hearts to serve you, Lord, and give our whole bodies to you.
Yes.
Lord, we ask all this, and we truly want to say thank you for it in your precious name, Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. You may be seated. Anyone got a special song? Sisters, may I ask sisters to come?
Every day I may walk and talk and act like nothing's in my way. I may even hold my head up high and tell the world that my life's okay. But if I ever come in contact with the presence of the great Almighty, oh, my story would be different. I would tremble and fall down on my knees. In His presence, I feel so little. With fluttering hearts, how quiet and reverent we should sit and listen with such awe. For if the Holy Spirit would take His flight, then tell me, where would we be? What an honor and a privilege to feel His holy presence so sweet. We're in His presence. Don't you feel so little? We're in God's presence. Everything is different. I see how small I am, how big He is in His presence. I see how small I am, how big He is in His presence.
Our pastor to come, let's sing a little chorus. Reach out and touch the Lord as He walks by. I'd like to start with the first verse. 'Twas a dark and stormy night on the Sea of Galilee. Amen. 'Twas a dark and stormy night on the Sea of Galilee. The disciples were so fearful of the fury. Out upon the raging water walked the blessed Lord of life. He calmed the troubled water as He walked by. Reach out and touch the Lord as He walked by.
touch the Lord as he goes by. Amen. Let us just bow our heads again for a moment of prayer. Precious Heavenly Father, we love you and appreciate you. Just so thankful, Lord, for the day in which you give us to live. Just asking again now that this day, Lord, we'd, as we go back into your word, that you'd help somebody here today, Lord, that it would help them and strengthen them. And Lord, let them learn greater the tactics of the enemy. That Lord Jesus, knowing as you warned us, that Satan was going about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Oh God, and if we're not in that right place with you, devoured we'll be. But oh God, help us this day that the word of God will fortify us and strengthen us, Lord, and give us understanding in the hour and time which we live. We pray now that you'll take complete preeminence of everything that's said and done. May everything be done for your glory and honor. We ask in your holy, precious name, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Are you happy to be here this morning? Amen. Amen. I'm so thankful. God's grace and mercy lets me be here. Amen. Let us turn our Bibles, if you'd like to turn with me. Matthew 24. Read a very familiar scripture, and the prophet spoke it many times and read it many times. Matthew 24, and let's read the 22nd to the 24th verse of Matthew 24. And this morning we want to, it'll probably take me a few services, but we'll get through it. I don't know why, but it just seemed like the Lord really laid this on my heart again, and I got to thinking about it. I thought, well, you know, last time I ministered on some of these things, and actually some more quotes to go along with it now, but the last time I did minister on this, there was quite a few that wasn't here, but it's been several years ago. And so I just want to follow the leading of the Lord and see what he wants, you see. All right, so we want to speak on this little subject and speak about the ministry today and see what God has for us in the Word. All right, and except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. So that tells me right there already it must be going to be to a place where it gets worse and worse. You know. Then if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. For there shall rise false Christ. We know what the prophet said about that. And false prophets shall show great signs and wonders. Insomuch that, if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Again, we ask the Lord to bless his word in our hearts. You may be seated. So again, as we enter back into this little subject, of course, we'll read some more scriptures. And as I said, just see if we can make sure that we're fortified to where we need to be. And knowing that Satan, we know he's going to try to do everything he possibly can to destroy us. And how's he going to do that? Adding or taking away from the Word of God. If he can just get you one word off, that's all that matters to him, because you're gone then, you see. Because it has to be every word that proceeds in the mouth of God. But we find in speaking about this ministry, which by God's grace, I'm a part of that ministry God chose, and there's other many throughout the land, real true, and there's many false throughout the land. But we also want to let the prophet explain some things to us in reading some quotes, and then we'll read some scriptures first. But I want to read Proverbs 16, if you want to turn with me, that's up to you. I'm going to read a few scriptures real quickly. Proverbs 16th chapter, and we'll read the 18th, 19th verse. I'll read that first. Pride goeth before destruction. Now, destruction, if you look it up, the original meaning, it says it's a crushing or a shattering. Okay? Pride, and pride is exalting oneself up. Okay? Pride goeth before destruction, and an haughty spirit before a fall. Better it is to be of an humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud. Right? So we'll read some more. Let's go over here to Proverbs, the 5th chapter. And reads here the 16th verse here. Proverbs 6th chapter. And I said 5th, I think. Proverbs 6, and we'll begin the 16th verse. These six things doth the Lord hate. Now, just because it's in the Old Testament, is it no longer any good? No, yes, it's good. Just as good as it ever was, you see. These six things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination unto him. A proud look. I just think of that. Just a proud look about you. My. A lying tongue and hands that shed innocent blood. Look what that proud look was tied into. Wow, some pretty bad things. A lying tongue and hands that shed innocent blood, and heart that devises wicked imaginations. Feet that be swift in running to mischief. A false witness that speaketh lies. And he that soweth discord among the brethren. Oh my. He that sows strife and disunion, bitterness among the brethren. I think of that. And look what of all things was placed with those terrible looking things. Just a proud look. My. Just a proud look. Yeah. That's something. Let's read another. Let's go to Proverbs and let's read here the 8th chapter. Just skip over a little bit. Proverbs 8, and let's read here the 13th verse. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride, and arrogancy. You ever see somebody who's really arrogant? I mean, just everything they do is just in an arrogant way. They just do it in a mean or distasteful way, and there's just no pleasant thing about it. Arrogancy. And the evil way and the forward mouth do I hate. I just think of those things. Let's read another one. Let's go on over to Proverbs 16th chapter. And we'll begin the first verse. Proverbs 16. Just put a few of these things in here first. The preparations of the heart in man and the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. All the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes. Well, don't that happen a lot? A man's ways in his own eyes is always clean. Ain't no problem. Ain't nothing dirty. Ain't nothing wrong. You know? But the Lord weigheth the spirits. Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. The Lord hath made all things for himself, yea, even the wicked, for the day of evil. Now think of that. The Lord hath made all things for himself, yea, even the wicked, for the day of evil. And we'll see some of those things in a little bit. Everyone that is proud in the heart is an abomination to the Lord. Though hand join in hand, he shall not be unpunished. But mercy and truth, iniquity is purged. And by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. So we find, you know, just a proud look, and pride, you know, is a terrible thing before the Lord. And of course, you know, pride makes, you know, what brings pride is when somebody thinks they're something, you know. They think they know a lot, you know. They think maybe because they're rich and they got a lot of money, they think they're something, and they become proud. And And just many things can make people proud. I've seen some of the poorest people there is walk around with a proud and haughty look. I mean, they just act like they're the head cheese of the world, you know. Though it's, you know, they're nothing, you know. I was kind of thinking about some of these things this morning as I went in prayer and I was praying in my room probably about 4 o'clock this morning, somewhere around there. And then a little later went outside and it was still dark and seen the stars and stuff. You know, we've spoke about that many times, but this morning was just really, really clear. And in the fall, it just seems like the stars just illuminate even more. And I was just standing out there and looking at them stars, you know, and all the, you know, the constellations and all this different stuff, and just how many, it just seemed like, you know, you see the bright stars, but yet in the background, just little small lights, and just very, very small. And they were just everywhere. And I couldn't help but to think again. I said, Lord, man is so small. Man is so tiny. And you're so great and so powerful. I mean, to be able to create all the things that you've created and placed in order. And here we are down here on the earth, and we're looking up, you know, and seeing all this that you created and all these things. And here we are, just a speck. I mean, just a speck. And then man, he goes to do things, and maybe he's maybe good at a certain thing, or maybe he's able to accomplish this in life or that, you know. And he begins to raise himself up like, oh, I can do this, nobody else can, you know. And ministry does it oftentimes, and you see it throughout the land. You see that proud and haughty look. You think, my, what would we all be if it wasn't for God's mercy, you know? But we can raise ourselves up so high. You know, we may think, praise God, that was a good message, you know, and I've done a good job, and I prayed for somebody today, and they was healed, and then begin to puff themselves up. We're going to read a little bit about this today, and we're going to find out again, and listen closely, because there is a true ministry and there is a false ministry in the message-believing ranks, we'll call it, okay? So we want to read this in Satan's Eden, paragraph 110. This was August 29, 1965. I'll read this first. Man mustn't establish yourself. We find it amongst, he said, he stops for a minute and said, let God do something for a person and send him out. You find every man trying to impersonate it. And that's what you see a lot of times happen, you know, if a certain man has a certain ministry and this one has a ministry, and even when the prophet had his ministry, then there was people come along and tried to impersonate that. I know of a young man when he began to minister the word and he was in this message, he even tried to make his sounds and his voice sound like the prophet's. And at this point, it made me so sick, I couldn't stand it, you know. But we see it in the message today. People trying to copy. You get a group of ministers together, and they want to outdo the other. They want to be the one that made, he had the best message, or he had this, or, oh, we look up to him, you know. It's sickening. When you really see the real, genuine picture. And I'm not something talking about something just intellectually. You can, now you're going to hear me read this today and you're going, oh, yeah, I got it. No, it'll be really real. A true understanding. You see? He said, see, they're trying to establish themselves. Every man, I did this. Me, I, mine. My denomination, you say, my church, you know, they will. Me, this. What are they doing? Establishing themselves. What are we preaching about? Ourselves or the kingdom of God? What does the ministry have in mind today? Are they just preaching about themselves? Is that all the better they can do is just bring themselves up? And I can do this and I do this and I went here and they done this and I went there and they done that and I this, that, and the other. I'm going to tell you what, nobody done anything. Jesus Christ done it, if anything got done right. You see? Wasn't a man. Now the prophet, how many times did he tell us that? It wasn't me. I just happened to be the one standing there, and God used me. You see? And then, yet great men as the prophet was, and then us puny ministry comes along today, and we think we're really tough stuff, you know? Because we can do this, and we can do that, and I can preach this, and I can talk about that, you know? So we're really tough stuff. We're bride. Yeah, okay. He says, establish the word of God. Take out the unbelief and establish the kingdom of God in a man's heart. Not try to establish yourself, he says. And the kingdom of God cannot be established in a man's heart unless God made that man thus. He cannot be established, see? And remember, the deceitful part, that man thinks that it's right. There's a way that seemeth right unto man. The way there is death. Well, it's in the book of Proverbs. Okay? So, what's going on today? I mean, why isn't there more people ever to be able to get to them with the Word of God instead of men trying to outshine the other one and trying to be the great person? I'm this, and I know this, and I know that. Again, if you just could find your true place in Christ, all of us men, we'd find out none of us is nothing without Jesus Christ. But because we can do a certain thing, we raise ourselves up. I'm this. I'm that. I can do this, that, and the other. Did you ever see the prophet do that? How many times do you hear these men that was give testimony of that prophet? The humblest man you ever seen in your life. Why can't the rest of us ministry be the same? Instead of somebody wanting to be the big shot. I've seen it all my life, friends. Where I came from, he wanted to be the big shot. When I preached down in West Virginia, he wanted to be the big shot. Jealousy, you see? If he just humbled himself to the Word of God, God would do what he wants to do. But as soon as a man does something, anything at all, he's a big shot. And how many big shots is people in this message looking up to, men in this message? Oh, a lot of people, a lot of following. Yeah. And they'll take them right into that false doctrine with some kind of creed. You see? So let's listen now. Not my words, but what the prophet said. I'm going to first read here in the Church Age book. Okay? Read something here. It's on page 74 in the Ephesian Church Age. He said, Paul founded the church at Ephesus about the middle of the first century. This enables us to set the date of the beginning of the Ephesian Church Age, about 53 A.D., his manner of ministering, now listen to what he said. Are you listening?
Amen.
I hope you are. Because one of these false ministers might come along sometime and deceive you if you ain't careful. But if you're elect, you'll never be deceived. So if you're elect, you're going to sit here and you're going to understand what that prophet said. You'll understand it. Okay? He says, his manner of ministering set the pattern that all future messengers were to aspire to, and actually set the pattern for every true minister of God. Okay? Though he would not attain to such heights in prophetic realm, no. Friends, I don't care who comes on today, he ain't going to be what the prophet was in this age. When they tried to be, just push him off the side, because it ain't going to happen. Paul's ministry had a threefold quality and was as follows. Now, this morning I'm just going to bring up this first one, okay? First of all, Paul was absolutely true to the Word of God. Now, you want to find a true minister of God, see if he stays with that Word 100%. Okay? He never deviated from it, no matter what the cost. Think of that. Galatians 1:8-9, but though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which was or that we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. There's a lot of cursed ministers today. Do you realize that? In the message, there's a lot of cursed ministers. If you don't see it, there's something wrong. You see? I'm just trying to give you the word and hope you can see it.
As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that which ye have received, let him be accursed. So Paul wanted to make sure he caught that. Didn't say it once. He wanted to make sure he heard it a second time. Galatians 2:11. But when Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him to the face. Now listen what he done. Apostle Paul. He was the example. All right. The prophet said, now look at him. He said, this is the pattern for every true minister of God. But Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him to the face. Peter had something mixed up. You see? Because he was to be blamed. So Peter was wrong what he was doing. But when I saw that they walked not uprightly, according to the truth of the gospel, I said unto Peter before them all, if thou being a Jew livest after the manner of Gentiles, and not as do the Jews, why compellest thou the Gentiles to live as do the Jews? You see, Paul always stayed with that word. Stay with the truth. 1 Corinthians 14:36, what, came the word of God out from you, or came it unto you only? If any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things that I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. Look how many of them today, that prophet, God sent him, brought a message, and yet they can put their own ideas to it and change this, that, and this, that, wiggle this around, wiggle that around. Okay, now listen. Notice that Paul was unorganized, but he was spirit-led. As when God moved upon Moses to lead Israel out of Egypt, Jerusalem's council never sent Paul out, nor did it have any power or jurisdiction over him. God and God alone did the sending and the leading. Paul was not of men, but of God. Look what a lot of these ministers are doing today. They're getting their little groups together and they're getting the higher ups in the message to send out the other ones. You go to this church, you get this church, and it'd be nice if you preach on this and do this, that, and the other. And we'll make sure we support you. It's turned into a bunch of nonsense, friend. It is. Galatians 1:1. Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead. Galatians 2:3-5. But neither Titus, who was with me, being a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised. And that because of false brethren, he had them back then? Yes, he did. And because of false brethren, unawares brought in, who came in privately to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage. How are they going to do it today? False doctrine. Creeds. Best you get a high up one and really got some pride rolling in and a bunch of people supporting that pride in him, then it just makes it even worse. You see? To whom we gave place by subjection. No, not for an hour. That the truth of the gospel might continue with you. But for 1 hour he stood for it. No. He would not tolerate it. No way. He wasn't going to. Okay? Now, if you want to turn with me, it's up to you. Isaiah 14. Read some scripture here. I don't know how far we'll go today, but we'll just go as far as we feel led this morning. Isaiah 14. And begin to 12th verse. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, now, Satan's desire, you see, I will ascend into heaven, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. Later on we'll get into that. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. So we can see Satan's desire was to be the big G's. Be better than God. What if that same spirit's in a man today? He says, I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Oh, see Satan's desire? I will be like the Most High. He wanted to be the big guy. The big guy, you see? And you watch people today, especially in ministry, they want to be the big shot. They want to be the one that knows everything, you know. They want to be the one that everybody answers to me. And nobody can do anything without me. Oh my, such a sad story. Yeah. When we're such a small thing, you see, because gifts and callings are without repentance. And God places who he will. But you know Satan has his too? Oh yes, he does. We'll see. I'm not just making this up. Satan has his ministry. Yeah. This, he says, I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Let's just go on. Let's read some things. We did this part before, but let's read this now. Let's go to Mark, the 5th chapter. And just show you where that spirit, how it keeps coming out. See, Satan knew who the Most High was. Absolutely. And he has entered into people and still knows who the Most High is. But he always tries to destroy the Most High's ways. You know. Mark 5th chapter, and let's begin the first verse. And this is where the man with the evil spirits dwelt in the tombs and so forth. And they came over unto the other side of the sea, unto the country of the Gadareans. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains. His strength was just unbelievable, you see. Because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken into pieces. Neither could any man tame him. And always night and day he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying, cutting himself with stones. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him and cried with a loud voice and said, What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. Oh my. The Spirit recognized who Jesus was. And he still recognizes who he is today. Yeah. This woman possessed with an evil spirit. Let's go to Acts 16. Acts 16 and read again 16th verse there. Just a couple verses there. Acts 16 chapter, 16 verse. And it came to pass as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. The same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, These men are the servants of the Most High God. Oh, there it is again. Yeah. Which showed us the way of salvation. It's making a mockery. And this did she many days. But Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, we know what the prophet said, he wouldn't do it until the Holy Ghost said, do it now. I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out of the same hour. But watch how that devil knows and recognizes. Yeah. But his attitude is to always overcome something that God has done. And tear it to pieces and mess it up. You see, because he wants to be the big shot. The serpent seed. This was preached September 28, 1958. Now, why would God allow this? Why would he allow these things to happen? Why does he allow there be this ministry today that's true and stays with every word, and then this ministry be today that it don't bother them at all, take away?
So what? I'm going to suit my people. I'm going to do what it takes to keep the most people in my church. Or this is what I think it is. You know? Why is there so much of it? Brother Branham said, which is the strongest, a savior or sinner? Which has got the most strength? Then the stronger had to permit the lesser. And he only does it for his glory. When he made Lucifer, he knowed he would be the devil. He knowed that. He created Lucifer to be the devil. You see? And he had to let it be there to show that he was the Savior. The Christ, he had to let it happen that way. Now, our Lord Jesus himself said, and we read it in Matthew 24, it'd be so close, it deceived the very elect if it were possible. Now, there's got to be something there to make it so close, so almost like the real thing, so that this word can be fulfilled. It has to be. And you say, well, I'm elect, so I don't think God will ever let that happen around me. How could you ever gather that in your thoughts? When he said to deceive the very elect, if it were possible. So little elect, you're going to be tested with it. Somewhere along the line, you're going to be tested with it. If you haven't already. Like many of us have already. You see? But that doesn't mean more of it will come. Men speaking their perverse things and craft using their crafty ways of doing things and twisting this and twisting that to take away one word so that you can begin to think, ah, this is the way it is. I had it wrong all the time. Well, maybe you had it right the first time. Now you're getting to think, oh, I didn't have this right. Okay? Now pay attention, friends. In the fourth seal, March 21st, 1963, paragraph 278, notice, what is this all coming to? Now, we've just got about 12, 14 minutes left. He said, look what this is all coming to. What is it? It's going right back the way it did. It started in heaven. It's coming to the end time battle. Keep it in mind. The first thing in heaven was a battle. Lucifer was kicked out and come to the earth and polluted Eden. Then he's been polluting ever since. And he's still polluting. Right amongst message-believing people, he's still polluting. Yeah. And now from the battle in heaven, it comes to the battle on earth. And it is to be finished on earth at the end time in a battle called Armageddon. Now anyone knows that. The battle started in heaven. And so they kicked him out, Michael and his angels, overthrew them. Just run out. See, run them out. And when they did, it dropped right down in Eden, and he started the battle here. And what happened? We all know the familiar story. He approached Eve through that serpent. And what did he do? He made it sound so much like the word. Why, who wouldn't want to be as wise as God is, you know? My, you know. I'm a created being in that. You know, why not be as wise as he is? But God already gave him the word. Don't you partake of it. Stay away from it. But he talked Eve into it. Yeah. In a very slick and sly, crafty way, he talked Eve right into it. And I think of today how many things the ministry today is talking people into that is not correct, that is not the word. And yet they'll use their correct or their crafty ways to do it. Now, who's doing this? Satan is. And I'll read a little bit later. Brother Branham made this statement. He said, and those men can't help themselves. No. They can't help themselves. They were placed there for that purpose. Yes. Didn't Cain himself know the word just the same as Abel did? Absolutely. Look at the people today that knows this word. I'll tell you, there's a lot of people today that know this word that's never even experienced the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And take a little fellow that's maybe born again, filled with the Holy Ghost, and that fellow over here that's all got it in here knows way more than this one that's got the Holy Ghost. And tell it just bang, 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 bang. But the life doesn't show it. You see? All right? Let's go on. Question and answers, Hebrews 1. This was September 25th, 1957 also. But just watch some of these things as it goes along here. Now he said, let's take back to Cain. Could you tell me where that spirit and that meanness come from? If Cain was the son of Adam, which was a son of God, where did that evil come from? What did Cain do? Killed his brother. Yeah. The first thing when he was born, he hated, and he was a murderer. But he knowed what God said, huh? God even told him, you do as your brother, I'll accept you too. He still couldn't do it. Now watch this little key thing here. He was jealous. Forever was a day and age of jealousy amongst the ministry. It is today. And then they try to copy each other. And then they want to be like this other one. And then this young one comes along and he wants to be like this one over here. What if they just want to be like Christ? And let God live in their life and be what God ordained them to be. But no, we're always wanting to look to a man. I want to be like this man. I want to be like that man. This man, that man, this man. Why not be like Christ? Man can fail. God's word will never fail. Never. I was stupid one time and looked toward a man. And God got me straightened out. And by God's grace, it'll never happen again. No, never. And now take the nature of his daddy, the very start in the beginning, Lucifer. In the beginning, he was jealous of Michael. Now you watch his trail as it goes down. You watch it. It'll unfold so clearly. What started the whole trouble? How many knows that? And Cain was the nature of his father. Now, Brother Branham spoke of how those natural traits are handed down, father to father, son to son, you know, on down. Which he was jealous of his brother and slew him. Of course, today they don't get by with slaying him, with shooting him and this, that, and the wild. We're a message of believer, you know, I'm a Christian. I wouldn't dare do that, you know. But watch them slay him with their tongue. Yeah. That nature could not come out of that pure seed. No way. Not that jealous. Couldn't come out of that pure seed. It had to come out of this perverted stream. Notice, Cain, as soon as he was born, and then Abel was born after him, then she conceived by Adam, and he knew her, and she brought forth the son Abel. And Abel was type of Christ. And when Abel was killed, Seth took his place, death, burial, resurrection, Christ in type. But now Cain worshipped all of his carnal works now, just like carnal church today. And they go to church and they worship. Look how it's turned into carnal. Cain worshipped. He wasn't an infidel. No. He wasn't a communist. Cain was a believer. He went to God. He built an altar. He'd done every religious thing that Abel done, but he didn't have the spiritual revelation of the will of God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. There you are. Do you see it? He says he didn't have the spiritual revelation. And that's what's the matter with the church today. And Jesus said he'd build his church on that spiritual revelation. You get it? Oh my, he said, your eyes come open now, the spiritual revelation. Cain come, he built an altar, he worshipped, he brought sacrifice, he knelt down, he praised God, he worshipped God. He'd done everything religious that Abel done. Listen to what he's saying. And God flatly refused him because he didn't have spiritual revelation.
He wasn't predestinated to it. And the fourth seal. Try to get through a few of these things this morning. Fourth seal, and March 21st, 1963, paragraph 285. Now the battle started in heaven. It'll be finished on earth in the form of Armageddon. Now let's watch and see it unfold. Maybe we can unfold it if the Lord help us right now to do this. Now watch it unfold. The mysterious rider, watch what he does now. Opposed. Opposed. In other words, he defiles or defies and fights it. Okay? Refused to repent and to go back to the original blood word. The word became blood and flesh. He refused to go back to it. And he says, is Antichrist. What is Antichrist? Anti-word. Okay? He's opposed to the true word bride. Okay? It started in heaven. Don't forget. And anything God's got going on, he's going to try to defile it or pervert it. Okay? And takes his own bride. Satan takes his own bride. He opposes his true bride. And he takes his own bride and brings her to him in a form of religion called creeds. You say, well, Brother Stephen, it ain't called creeds in this message. You tell me it ain't. When a man gives his idea, friends, it's a creed. I don't care what our brain says. If that man gives his own idea and has contrary word, it's a creed. It's his thought. It's what he feels. It's what he thinks. You see, it becomes a creed. And dogma, see. And now, seeing the holy bride, he is against her. Saying, you holy bride in here, he's against you. Okay? But he forms his own bride called Antichrist. By Antichrist teaching. I've heard ministers get up and say, this is yet to come way down the road. Boy, they're missing it. They have missed it a long ways. It's plain and simple. The prophet plainly shows us. Okay? He says here, called Antichrist by Antichrist teaching, which is contrary to Christ. Yeah. If it's Antichrist, it's anti-word. Okay? Don't forget that. See how shrewd he is? Oh, see how shrewd he is? Instead of staying with the truth, some man comes along he can use and puts a creed in there. Oh, there's no change in your nature. When that prophet plainly showed us, it was. The soul of the sinner shall surely die. I'm sure glad I don't still have that soul that's going to die, friend. It's dead. It's gone. But people can't see it. Look how they twisted up so many things in the message. I mean, it's this idea, this idea, this idea. This one's doing this, this one's doing that. If we'd all stay with the word, it'd be one thing. It'd be a unity in the faith. Look how much better everything would go along. But it's not supposed to be that way. No. There's got to be a true and there's got to be a false show up. The false has got to show up to show the true. How are you going to know a bad woman if it ain't a good one? Or I mean, no good woman if you don't have a bad one there to show what the difference is. You see? All right. He says here, like the Protestants said, the Apostles' Creed. I want you to find the word in the Bible why there's, why there's no Apostles' Creed in the Bible. Yeah. Oh my. He said, not long ago somewhere, if the Apostles had a creed, it's Acts 2.38. That's exactly all I know they ever had. That's what they called everybody to, see? When he found one of them that looked like they were Christians, he said, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe? They said, we know not whether there be any Holy Ghost. All right, let's go on. Let me skip on another one so we can save a little time. All right, this is back in the seal, Antichrist. All right, this is March 11, 1955. But it won't change later in the seals. If you'll notice, just about time Jesus came on the scene, Judas came on the scene. Now pay attention to that. Now, I'd like to spend more time on all these things, but I've got a lot of quotes here. And maybe we'll go back and hit some of them as we go along. He says, Judas came on the scene, the Antichrist. When Jesus came on the scene, Judas came along, the Antichrist. All right? He said, the one was against Christ. He said, I want you to notice the nature of these spirits now. Okay? Judas was a religious man. Get that. He was not an infidel. And all of us know that he was the Antichrist. He worked the very closest hand to Christ. He was the right-hand man. Wow. Judas, the right-hand man. Wow. Did you know that in heaven that the devil was God's right-hand man in the beginning? Uh-huh. That Lucifer, the son of the morning, was given power? And the reason that, he says, and the reason that he brought sin into the world, he was able to take something that God had created and pervert it back into an evil thing, which started all this trouble in the beginning. Then God, back before the foundation of the world was ever laid, when he seen what Satan done, in his pride, who? Lucifer. In his pride went over north and set up a kingdom and fought against Michael and his angels. Think of that. The right-hand man of the Almighty God was Lucifer, the son of the morning, the first. God granted him almost co-workers with him. He was a co-worker, partly equal with him. Only Satan could not create. God is the only creator. But Satan took something that God created and perverted it back into something else, evil. And now notice, when Cain and Abel, a very beautiful picture of it. Cain and Abel was nothing more than the prefigure of Judas and Jesus. Now, being uneducated, like my brethren are educated, though, he said, I teach the scripture from types and shadows. And if I know what the shadow of anything is, I have some understanding of it. If I see what the shadow looks like, I can pretty well tell you what it's going to look like. And if we could foresee by the shadow what these evils are, then we can pretty well tell what they're going to be when we look at them. And without education, then I have to teach it from typology. Because Paul did a lot of that too, he said. Okay? Just following. The seal of the Antichrist is going back to that again now. This is paragraph 19. Notice in Judas, just as Cain killed Abel at the altar, Judas killed Jesus at the altar. And about the time that Jesus came on, Judas came on. The time that Jesus died, Judas died. And about the time the Spirit of Christ, get it now? About the time that the Spirit of Christ returned, the Spirit of Antichrist returned. Oh. I thought this was coming way down the road, brother. No, it ain't. It's already here. It'll be here too, but I mean, it's already here, friends. The spirit of Judas returned. Judas was Satan's man. Christ is God's man. Christ was incarnated God. Judas was incarnated devil. Just as they return back, here he says, many people look at Calvary and only see three crosses, but there were four crosses. You say, I only seen three. Well, a cross is a tree. Cursed is he that hangeth on a tree. Jesus was hanging on a tree, and Judas hung himself on a sycamore tree, just as much cursed, and just the same as much tree as Christ was hung on, the cross. Now notice, Christ in the middle. On his left was a thief, on his right was another thief. Now, these representing the believer and the unbeliever. Now, the man that was really a thief on this side, on the left side, cried out and said, watch that word now. Watch it, he says. If thou be the Son of God. Oh, where'd that come from? Do you remember? When Jesus fasted 40 days and he was tempted? Oh, if thou be the Son of God, then cast thyself down. Make these stones bread. Come on, big shot. Do it. Same devil. You see? If you're all this great person that you say you are, then save yourself and save us too. If thou be, he says.
if thou be? To the other one, it wasn't a question. No. The man on this side being the gospel preacher, the believer. Listen, on the other side, right side, being the gospel preacher, the believer. Preached to him through the cross, said, what are you condemning him for? He went right after that devil. What are you condemning him for? He has done nothing. But see that we are condemned, both of us, we're getting just exactly what is coming to us. Oh, such a different attitude, wasn't it? Yeah. We deserve this. Oh, my. That's the real gospel preacher. We deserve this. But this man has done nothing. Said, Lord, and he said, and he looked at his confession. He said, this man saying, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And of course, Jesus told him he would be. A lot of different attitude, wasn't it? And we look throughout the ministry today, there's so many terrible attitudes. Terrible attitudes. You wonder, how could it be men supposed to be filled with the Holy Ghost and have the attitudes they've got? I mean, it's just almost unbelievable if you didn't understand the word. You see? And yet they'll have their followings. Their little lost sheep will be following them. And they'll fall in the ditch. And the rest of them falls in the ditch. You see? They don't get it. You see? But Jesus, quickly speaking back, said, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. There you are. Who is that? Judas Iscariot died on a sycamore tree. Here was God came down, manifest in flesh, going back to heaven, taking with him the repentant sinner. Here was Judas, the son of perdition, just the same as Christ being the son of God, come from perdition, returning back to perdition, taking with him the unrepented sinner. He said, do you see it? Let's go on. Christ the Mystery of God Revealed, July 20th, 1963. Like I say, I want to read as much as I can, and we'll talk about things later. If we don't run, boy, I'm about out of time. Now notice, listen to this. Now is the great thing. Now is where we want to watch. Remember, in the last days, this is last days, is it not? Okay. We'll exactly go back and vindicate the first day. Adam and Eve. Husband and wife, no sin, life. Then the fall. Notice closely. Twist her up. That's what Satan did, twist her up. Look at the life we've been presented with today. Are we going to let Satan twist it up now? When we've got the prophet's messages all around us, you're going to let some man come along and twist it. And just take a little bit away from the importance here, a little importance away from there, so he can make himself some big shot. And I've got a lot of people following me. And my a lot of ministers always want to go where I go. Yeah. They want to be in my meetings and this, that, and the other. And take away one word. Oh, my. And we've got the little preachers out there today, friends, the ministers in this message are like little puppets, and they're falling behind this one and falling behind that one, you know. But Apostle Paul wasn't that way. And he was the pattern. The prophet told us he was. No. But today, men are falling right into it. You've got men standing behind pulpits preaching today. And friends, if their wife tells the man to sit and lay and sleep on the couch at night, he's there pronto and preaching his gospel. What a sick mess Satan has destroyed so many good men. Yeah. Totally destroyed them. And people are following them like little puppets. God have mercy on the whole mess. Notice what caused it. Lucifer. He done the twisting up. Lucifer is doing it now. as he did the first time. Twisting her up. Oh, yeah. How many knows there's, let's just make sure I'm not by myself. How many sitting there knows that there's preachers all over throughout the land twisting this word up? I thought you knew. I thought, surely I ain't in this but myself. You know. But now, he's doing it just like he did the first time. Right now. In these last days. And people can't see it. But thank God for those that have seen it. And pulled and turned away from it. You see? All right? Notice Lucifer in the last days is doing as he did first. Again, this is the last days, is it not? Absolutely it is. What did Lucifer do? The first thing that Lucifer done is to separate the fellowship of God and man. He wanted to build him a united kingdom, a greater splendor, seemingly more cultured, greater kingdom than Michael. Lucifer, at the beginning, his purpose in heart was to achieve a brighter, greater thing in heaven than Christ had. Oh my. Is that right, he says? By seemingly a more cultured, more beautiful, more splendor than the kingdom of Christ. Do you think we'll have automobiles or in the millennium or airplanes? See what Lucifer is doing? Look what Lucifer is still doing today. He's created all kinds of devices to detour you and distract you and cause you to break the word of God. You know, I've just heard little bits and pieces, you know, and men talking about it at work and stuff. I don't even know the big shot's name of Facebook. I can't even remember. I know his Facebook picture and things, but, you know, I hope they buried the whole thing. Throw me to pieces. Man should be in trouble. Yeah. Look what that's done to human life. It's caused people to get on there and dig at somebody else and dig at this person, dig at that person, instead of standing there face to face and say, you know, I think you're wrong or I'm wrong. You know, let's work this thing out. But now they'll put all over the internet that, what this person did and that person did and this person did. What a sick world, friends. What a sick world. And it's so easy for the so-called Christians today to just get on and like this and like that, and it's just the filth and carnality. Oh, as my friend put it on there, my brother in Christ put it on there, so I like. And that brother may not be no more a Christian than anything, you see. But again, I'm not telling nobody not to have Facebook. I know I always get blasted for that, but that's fine. That's what I believe. That's what I see, you see. And there is a right way using it. There is. I'll agree with that. But is everybody doing it the right way? Huh? One thing about it, he knows. And I ain't stupid either. Christ the mystery God revealed. I'll close on this. Paragraph 565. And here is Lucifer at his job again today. Remember, the Antichrist is not communism. Oh, wait, what did he say? Back up, read it again. And here's Lucifer at his job again today. And remember, the Antichrist is not communism. The Antichrist is so close like the real thing. The real thing is still here, friends. Yes. So the thing that's really close is here too. Yeah. Till it deceive the very elect if it were possible. Jesus said, Matthew 24, the elected if it was possible. Lucifer again, he repeats, Lucifer again is breaking God's unity in man by his limiting the word of God to his reasoning. Yeah. What he thinks that is right. Oh, look what's going on today. What he thinks is right. Doesn't make any difference what we think's right. It's what God said is right. And what he thinks, he breaks the word of God. Oh, it's happening everywhere. And the same thing he did in the days of Jesus. And Jesus said, you by your traditions has made the word of God of none effect. Oh, look how that's happening today, friends.
You watch some of these young preachers coming up. Because their preacher done this a certain way and preached it this way, they're going to stay right with them and do the same thing, whether it's the word or not. Because that's the way their church is already set up, so they're going to step in and do it the same way he did it, regardless of truth or not. You know, just go ahead and do it. You know? And the denominations, by their organized intellectual reasoning, has made God's word of none effect unto the people. Same thing happened today in this message. You see? Lucifer comes in the cunningness and breaks the unity of God to man, just like he did in Eden. No difference. By great temptation of promises and self-power and exalting. Well, you might become a bishop, or you might just stay with us, or you can stay with us. You might become a district presbyter. Why would you go do something like that, see? That Pentecostal, Catholic, and so forth, see? Just false promise to men. So receive power outside the word and promise of God. You receive power when the Holy Ghost has come upon you, not when you become a bishop or a deacon or whatever it was. But Lucifer is at his job again. And look what he's offering men in this message today. If you believe this the same way, well, you can go to South America with me. I wouldn't care if there was a South America around if I had to break the word to get there. No. No way. Well, you can come over to this meeting if you'll quit saying those kind of things, and, you know, but and kind of agree the way we're preaching this, you know. It's not like you're preaching, it's this way. Because all of us brothers all agreed and we all see it the same way, and this is the way it is. So, I'd rather stay with the right way than go anywhere and preach anywhere. Yeah, I'd rather stay in the right way. I'd hate to think I'd have to go with a bunch of ministers I knew was preaching this contrary and have to go with them. I'd definitely be a thorn in their flesh. I may not be able to get on the plane to get back. He said, does this church understand that? He says, raise your hand. So I'll see that. All right. I want to stay with it. He said, I want to stay with it. Or he says, I won't stay with it any longer then. I'm breaking up from part. All right, let's go on. I'm glad to quit. I've been an hour. Why don't you sisters come up? Sing a song. Amen. Kind of loosen things up a little bit. Amen. But there's a lot of things the prophet said on this. And to many people, it's just, they never even thought about it. They don't even know what's going on. That's why they're supporting us creeds and ideas, because they don't see it. Yeah. They said, oh, you know, got to overlook that, and you got to overlook this, you know. Brother Branham said, you know, just put the cherry up. Brother, he was talking about something different than that. And something in the Word, if you don't quite get it, then lay there and pray about it until you can get it, friends. Not talking about accepting false creeds. Just lay aside until you get a false creed. No, he didn't say that. No. He was talking about friends receiving the word of God. And you couldn't get it right at first. Just pray about it. Lay it up on a shelf and you know, pray about it. Yeah. All right. Friends, it's unbelievable sometimes if you didn't have this understanding of what this prophet is going to say. And I've got a lot of pages, a lot of quotes to read yet. And it'll show you exactly what's happening today. Exactly. No questions. It's just plain as can be. And Lucifer started it clear back in heaven, friends. Yes. And it's going to happen until that little bride leaves and it's all destroyed. Yes. He'll not quit working. No. And he'll work hard on you to try to get you to believe one thing wrong. One thing. Maybe somebody may have been the message for years and knows a lot, friends. He may twist something around just one little direction and taking away what that prophet said. Well, he ought to knowed. You think so? Satan's got to have some real good devices to use because he knows we're not stupid. Yeah, he knows we've got quite a bit of word. So he knows it's going to have to be something really tricky. It's going to be so close to the real, so close to the real. You might accept it. Oh my. Saints, make sure you can always back it up in that word.
I don't care what it is. You make sure you back it up in there. Then everything will be fine. You see. As I've said before, you know, I've got caught in that trap before. And God got me out. And I went through a little desert at times. But one thing about it, by God's grace, He brought me out. His mercy and grace. Hallelujah. Oh, my. I actually feel sorry, friends, for all these ministers. I feel sorry for them. I don't hate them. I love them. I pray for many of them many times. When I see and hear the very things they've added to and taken away from the Word, that, oh, God, have mercy. Don't let it be. Don't let it be. You know. But somebody had to be the people that did. Same as there's a bride that will stay 100% with it. If there's nothing to compare to, what do we mean? If there's a true bride that's going to stay 100%, if there's a true minister, you're going to stay 100% with the Word. How could you have any comparison if you didn't have something to take away and add to? To be so close, so close. Oh my, I'll read you some things, friends. Maybe sometimes we forgot about some things. But it's so serious. It's so close. I mean, it's so close. It's one word. One word. Dear Lord, help us. When I think, if the Lord would lift His hand 1 minute and I would begin to think a wrong direction, oh God, help me. Help me, Lord. Don't let me miss it, Lord. It's between life and death. You're hanging over hell, but one link in that chain. One link. Take it serious, saints. Because we're all friendly people. We like people. We like ministers. We like other churches and this, that, and the other. We love those things, you know. But be careful. Your adversary, the devil, is going about as a roaring lion. And he's seeking whom he may devour. And how's he going to do it through today? Deception. The greatest age of deception that ever was is this age. Never has been another age like it. This age. Can we believe it? Do we see it? Do we understand it? Oh my. And it ain't like we've seen it happen before, friends. How we've seen it many times. Over the years, people accept one thing wrong and out they go. Away from the Word. And then it just snowballs. Another word. Another word. Another word. And their life is a shamble. It's a mess. As the Scripture speaks, it's shattered. You see? Dear Lord, help us. Let us all stand. Heavenly Fathers, we bow our heads and our hearts before You. And trusting, Lord, as You have laid this upon my heart to bring back our attention, that we'll see the seriousness of this so greatly. Lord, and some of the other quotes that You've showed me to bring to them and to read to them, and trusting You help us to see it. It's more serious than maybe some of us think it is. Do we see how serious it is to accept some kind of an idea from man that doesn't line up with the Word? Lord Jesus, help us. We are such a needy people. And we truly see how small we are, Lord, without You. Oh, God, what a waste we are without You. Atomic fodder, one day to be ashes, that the little bride will walk on one of these days. Help us not to miss it, Lord. May we be ever vigilant and stay strong in the Word of God. And read it and study it and pray constantly, Lord. Lest Satan catch us off guard. And maybe be carnal at something and think, well, maybe that is truth. When it isn't. Help us, Lord, is my prayer. For these people, for a little bride all over the earth, whoever she may be and wherever she may be. Go with us now and protect us and keep us safe, Lord. Again, our precious brothers and sisters had to drive so far. Watch over them, Lord. And Father, let us come back the next appointed time if you should tarry and waiting on you to see what you want. And again, Lord, we give you the glory. There's nothing we can do. We can only say what that prophet said. But Lord, may we say what he said. Make sure the people hear it and have the opportunity to understand it. We thank you now for everything. In your glorious name we pray, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Without him, I could do nothing. Without him, I would but fail. Without a sail. Hallelujah. Oh Lord Jesus, abide with me as I travel. Abide with me. May the Lord richly bless you. You're dismissed. Amen. Praise his name.